Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Well, if you're Downton Abbey fans, the Downton Abbey movie just been released. And who better to tell if it's any good? WOR's Movie Minute Guy, Joe Neumeier. Now, Joe, were you a fan of the TV series?
I got to admit, guys, I wasn't. I knew about it. I'm not really that much of a TV guy anyway, but like I had obviously known about it. And then when the first movie came out a couple of years ago, I caught up with it, and I had done some Q&As with some cast members and the director and things like that. So I kind of got into it, you know, the first season or so, and kind of knew what was going on with the story. So I'm not crazy about it. But, you know, that said, I'm giving this movie 2 stars, but it's an enthusiastic 2 stars. And if you're a fan of Downton Abbey, you know, obviously your mileage may vary. Add a couple of stars to it. It's certainly great to kind of escape into the world of this movie. It takes place in 1928, which the series had started like around World War I. So they've kind of moved it up now by about like 12 years or so. And the family is dealing with, there's a mysterious villa in the south of France that the Dowager, who's played by Maggie Smith, who's great, Dame Maggie Smith. She's actually really one of the best things in the movie. So funny and caustic, and every thing out of her mouth is like this little cutting remark. So her family kind of goes to figure out what's going on there. Meanwhile, a movie is being filmed, a silent film is being filmed at the manor at Downton Abbey. But of course, sort of shades of Singing in the Rain. Just as they're filming it, it's like talkies come around, and so they have to switch it to a talkie, and the staff is there and watching in the family and everything. So, you know, to me, it's a little like this movie belongs on a doily, in like behind a piece of glass or something. Like, it's a little precious.
It sounds a little precious to me. Yeah, that's
what I was exactly thinking. It's a little precious to me too. And so, you know, while it's fun to kind of escape into it, I was sort of like a little looking at my watch and thinking, like, you know, really, are we, you know, still going upstairs and downstairs and the maids and the butlers and the wealthy family and the man, oh, you know, whatever. So 2 stars. But if you like the show. And people seem to like Bridgerton too for the same reasons. I don't know, or maybe it's a little sexier. I don't watch that either. But
it's a lot sexier from the first. What are you kidding?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any sex in Downton Abbey. Yeah, Downton Abbey, definitely not sexy. You know, things on a doily behind a piece of glass. Yeah,
haven't they already announced they're coming out with a third Downton Abbey movie?
I'm sure. Well, they play well overseas, obviously, and it's, you know, while it's only in theaters, it'll be on, you know, streaming, I'm sure, very soon. It kind of plays beautifully, I'm sure, and at home, you know, you can have a cup of tea and turn the lights down low and pretend like you're living in a manor in 1928 in England. It looks great, you know, it's a beautiful place, but yeah, it's a little dry, and it's very British, you know, it's very upper crust, and you know, oh, the accents of the staff members or things like that, or a plot point and things like that. So great cast,
nice costumes,
though, and, you know, nice costumes, and I'm not giving away any plot details, but Maggie Smith really steals the show. You know, she's an octogenarian, and she just still knows every way to steal a scene. She's terrific. So 2 stars for Downton Abbey.
Well, there are a couple of classic movies with butlers, and of course, the one that jumps to my mind is Arthur with John Gielgud. The great John Gielgud. Alert the media.
If every week I can talk about Arthur, I have no problem with that. Right, John Gielgud, he got the Oscar, Best Supporting Actor, first one he had ever received for Arthur, and all those great lines, you know. And I also just love that moment when he's like, when Arthur is wakes up with the prostitute, and he's like, she says hi, and he says, oh, you know, I await your next syllable with great eagerness. So great.
I like it when they meet Liza Minnelli after she shoplifts a tie in Bergdorf's, and he says, nice meeting you. See you in prison.
Yes, good luck in prison. Yeah, she says, wouldn't it be funny if he called me? So great. That film, I never get tired of it. There's some other, obviously, all the guys who played Alfred in the Batman movies, which are all, you know, great guys. Michael Caine and Jeremy Irons and Andy Serkis just did it a couple of months ago in the Robert Pattinson, the Batman movie. And then there's like Anthony Hopkins, of course, he played a butler in Remains of the Day.
I forgot about that.
And Forrest Whitaker, who played the title role in The Butler. And I bet the one that I'm going to say now is probably your very favorite, Michael, which is Eric von Stroheim.
I thought you were going to say Rhett Butler, Gone with the Wind.
That's right.
Why?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn about butlers. But no, remember Eric von Stroheim?
Yes, in Sunset Boulevard, Norma Desmond's former lover and husband, and now a butler.
That's right. She hired her husband as her butler.
That's right. Weird. What's the one, though, with, oh, God, I can't remember his name. It's a screwball comedy. He was from Nick and Nora.
My Man Godfrey, right, with William Powell, right. That's also a great butler movie. That's exactly right. My Man great. And right, that's exactly right. And even, and I will even say, like, even the, you know, the butler from the TV Batman, Alan Napier, was great. You know, he with the mustache. Oh, sure. And he would, the why anybody ever thought he was Batman when he would you know, dress up as Batman to fool people. It's like he's 80 years old and he's got a white mustache, but nobody noticed.
So only you would know this. You got any movies where the butler did it, like in a murder mystery?
The butler, in the Clue, the movie, doesn't, what's his name?
I don't know.
The butler does it. Tim Curry. I think the butler actually does do it in Clue, the movie, though I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe Miss Scarlet did it. But I feel like, but that movie had three different endings, so I'm not sure if the butler did it in all three.
Gotcha.
And of course, the great butler line of all time is from All About Eve with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
And waiter. Is this, right. That, my dear, is a butler. And she said, well, I couldn't call him butler. Somebody's name might be butler.
Yeah,
you have a point. An idiotic one, but a point.
An idiotic one, but a point. Somebody's name might be Butler, right?
Hey, Joe, I got to ask you this because the Oscars now are thumbing their nose at all the streaming services. From now on, they changed it the last couple of years. From now on, a movie has to play in the theaters. They're not going to allow, if it goes right to streaming, they're not eligible for the Oscar. What do you think of that?
Well, I think there's, for one thing, I think it's a response, obviously, to Coda winning Best Picture just a couple of months ago, and even things like, you know, Alfonso Cuarón winning Best Director for Roma, so Netflix and Apple and everybody now kind of coming into the fray. I will say it's not that big of a difference, though, because even prior to the streaming era, movies had to run famously for like 1 week in L.A. and New York by the end of the year. So by December 31st, they had to run. So, you know, I grew up in the Midwest. I may not see the movie until April or something, and there it is winning Oscars. So it had to play. I think that the streamers are doing that now, though. Coda obviously was in theaters, and a lot of them were. So the smaller ones, maybe this is what's going to affect them. But even if they just do a 1 week at an art house theater or something, that will qualify. So I think it's more the Academy maybe saying, like, don't pay any attention to the Will Smith controversy. We're really putting our foot down on streamers. It's a strange little footnote, but I think it's an interesting thing. But you know, you'll just see more streamers just playing for that 1 week at the Paris Theater or whatever. You know,
quick trivia question before we run.
Yeah.
In what movie did Alec Guinness play the butler?
Murder by Death.
The great
Neil Simon written comedy from 1976. Right.
Very Len, Alec Guinness plays the blind butler, and Nancy Walker plays the deaf cook.
Yes.
The two of them tried to interact.
And when she finds his body, she screams, but she opens her mouth out and no sound comes out. So she's like,
right. Oh, man. Is this a comedy?
With Truman Capote, right?
Oh, it's great.
Right.
I watched it the other day. It's so much fun. All right, Joe Neumeier, movie man.
Thanks,
guy.
Joe.
Hey, coming up next. Have you ever seen a Greek statue, Len?
Probably.
And have you ever wondered why a certain part of its anatomy is either missing or very small? We'll have the reason when we get back.
Really, you've done some research, huh? Yeah. Hey, I have an important announcement. If you have $50,000 or more in your IRA, 401k, or any other retirement savings, it's obvious your money could be at risk, but there is something you can do about it right now. Protect your assets with gold or silver. Call my friends at GoldCo, 855-512-GOLD. GoldCo has been in business for over 10 years. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They have helped their customers place nearly $1 billion in precious metals. It is the company that my fellow WOR host Sean Hannity and I recommend to our audiences, friends, and family for gold and silver. Call 855-512-GOLD to get a free gold IRA kit to see how thousands of retirees are protecting their retirement savings with gold and silver. Many are getting $10,000 or more in free silver just for doing it. With inflation at a 40-year high, you need some financial stability. So call GoldCo today. See if they're right for you.